I'm very excited for our next guest. She and I were just talking a little bit earlier, and I first met her back in 2008 when I had just been invited, and she had been invited to join the same group called the Transformational Leadership Council. And it was an awesome experience. We've been members ever since. It was in Vail, Colorado, back in 2008. You reminded me of the year, Lynn, so thank you for that. And it's been so cool learning about your work. Lynn is one of the foremost thinkers in the new consciousness movement. She's written several amazing bestsellers that I've loved reading because you do such great research. Some of the books that she's written are The Field, The Intention Experiment, which is the first one that I read, The Bond, and then her latest book, The Power of Eight, which we'll be discussing that a little bit later. The interesting thing about Lynn was that she's obviously a great writer, but she was a journalist first. And the one of the first, I think your first book was written about one of John F. Kennedy's sisters. Is that correct?
Second book. First
Oh,
book
second
was an
book.
investigation of baby selling, believe it or not. So that's my
Oh.
real investigative reporter roots coming to the fore.
Yeah. Well, first of all, welcome to this Global Energy Healing Summit. And just based upon what we just talked about, you were an investigative reporter, and now you're writing about intention and the bond and the power of what a group of eight people can do with intention. How the heck did you make that transition, Lynn? How did you start writing about the things that you write about and have such a passion for now?
Well, weirdly, Tom, I got hijacked because, I was minding my own business. As I say, I started out life thinking, oh, well, my heroes are Woodward and Bernstein. I want to be an investigative reporter. And I had, hidden tape recorders and I posed as an unwed mother and, to break
Wow.
a baby selling ring and did all that kind of stuff. And when I moved to the UK, which really was to do with the Kennedy biography, I came over here and basically never left. With my husband, we started a magazine. Well, it was a newsletter at the time called What Doctors Don't Tell You.
Yeah.
And in that, which is still going, it's still an international magazine, in that we look at what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine. And we study medical literature. And in the course of doing that, I kept coming across these amazing studies showing that things like spiritual healing work. And I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute. If we can take a thought and send it to someone else and make them better, that completely undermines everything we think about how the world works. So I wanted to find out more about that. So I more or less conned my publisher into supporting what was essentially a journey without a compass. So I started talking to frontier physicists and consciousness researchers and experts. And what they came up with was a completely new way of looking at the world. Each of them had discovered a little piece of what turned into a new science, a new worldview. So I explored that, and there was a and wrote my first book in that area, which is The Field, all about how we're all connected, part of a quantum energy field, and laid out the big new science for it. But there have been sort of unfinished business. And one of the big unfinished businesses in the field was that thoughts are things. And they're not only things, but things that affect other things. So as a journalist, I wanted to find out how far we can take that. And so that became the intention experiment, which is actually an experiment testing it. That became a how do we live this? That was the bond. And now with the power of eight, it's how do we work on a smaller scale, and that's been my real focus now is group intention. So, as I say, I got hijacked.
You definitely got hijacked. And I love the fact that you do experiments on this. So this is not just theory or things that you've read about. You actually put it to the test, and we're going to get into that in a little while. Talk about the field. Some people may have heard about it, some people may not have heard about it, but talk about what this field that you wrote about is that we all live within and how it impacts us.
Okay. Well, scientists have known about this field, the zero point field, since since the development and discovery of quantum physics. Essentially, when we think of the tiniest parts of our being, subatomic particles, they're actually, we think of them as billiard balls, tiny little billiard balls, but they're not like that. They're actually vibrating packets of energy, trading energy with other subatomic particles. So imagine it's a little game of tennis, a subatomic game of tennis, where they're sending this stuff back and forth. So there's not much energy in one of those exchanges, about a half a watts of energy. But when you add up all the subatomic particles in all of the things in all the universe, you come up with this essentially unfathomable amount of energy just sitting out there in empty space. Because when these little subatomic particles have their tennis game, they create a virtual particle which appears and then disappears in an instant. And that gives rise to energy. But here's two important implications. The first one is subatomic particles are also waves, and they go on to infinity. And also, they have an infinite ability to hold information. If we put the Library of Congress on a subatomic wave, it would fit in the size of a sugar cube. Every book ever written is in the Library of
Wow,
Congress, and it would
that's
fit on a
amazing.
sugar cube. That's how condensed it is and energy heavy. If you were sitting a yard away from me, Tom, the energy in empty space would be enough to boil all the oceans of the world. But here's
Wow.
the big thing about it. Subatomic particles and waves, as they are also, when they bump into each other, they take on the other's information. So this empty space, this mothership of energy, is essentially a mothership of information, of all the information that ever was, just sitting there in this supercharged backdrop. So that's what we're part of. And essentially, the fact that waves go on to infinity means that essentially we can be in touch with everything or anything in the other side of the universe. And I've actually proved that in some of our experiments. So, this big energy field out there connects all of us, unites all of us, and contains all of our information.
Yeah, that's so cool. So many people feel so alone, especially if they've got a problem or an illness. They feel so alone. You're never alone. There's this field of energy that's always impacting you. When you walk into a room, someone else's energy's there. You're entering into that field. You're changing the field with your energy. And it's why your experiments have been so successful. You're showing people how to impact the field. Doesn't matter where somebody is. Talk about intention and how it works, Lynn. I've been part of some of your groups, not of eight. We've had larger groups where we use intention to help heal. But talk about how intention works. People have heard that word. How does it work?
Well, we think of intention as, a thought, and we think of that thought as being locked inside our heads.
Right.
But the field, my book, The Field, talked about the discoveries of a number of frontier scientists who discovered that essentially our brains are not the repository of information. They're more like a sender receiver.
Yes.
Think of a television station and a television set all in one. We receive information, we beam it out. And new evidence demonstrates, it was not so new, I guess it's back from the 70s, but it's new in scientific terms, has demonstrated that we send out a tiny current of light, all living things, including human beings. And that light gets sent back synchronicitously. Other beings are sending us light too. So we're almost having a conversation in light. If you and I were sitting across from each other, we'd be talking, but we'd also be having this little conversation of light. And the theory is that intention, and we've been demonstrating it in some studies, intention can, when you try to send healing, for instance, that light increases. So they've demonstrated that at the University of Arizona with groups of healers. But what I also recognize that thoughts are not just beaming out there, and we're not just you know, leaky buckets, essentially. Our thoughts are leaking out there, but they affect other people and things. And so there were a lot of studies about that, which I wrote about in the intention experiment, but I also wanted to test it. Because as a skeptical, hard-nosed journalist, which I am at my core, I kept saying to myself, you know, after watching things like The Secret and reading about all this popular stuff on manifestation, okay, well, what are we talking about here? You know, are we talking about shifting a quantum particle, or are we talking about, you know, curing cancer with our thoughts? You know, how far can we take this? So at the time, 2007, I knew a lot of scientists in consciousness research from doing the field. And I also had a lot of readers because the field was in about 30 languages at that time. So I figured if I just put them all together, I'm going to have the biggest global laboratory in the world. So that's what I did. I worked with different scientists at different points, still doing it. We've run 38 of them, by the way. Wow. Everything from trying to make seeds grow faster and affect very subtle properties in a leaf, to purifying water, to lowering violence in war-torn areas or violent areas, to healing people of things like post-traumatic stress disorder. And of those 38 experiments, only 34 have not shown measurable, or only 34 have shown measurable positive, mostly significant effects. Only four have not, and largely because of either the study design or the laboratory deficiencies in the laboratory. Mm-hmm. Like in one case, the lab technician inadvertently put our samples next to an electromagnetic field, for instance. But so 34 have worked. And what we've been looking at, as I say, is how far can we take this?
Right.
You know, we've looked at purifying water. We've done about 8 of those experiments. We did seed experiments where we had 4 sets of seeds. This is with the University of Arizona, their lab. And we would, you know, I think the first time I did it, I was in Sydney, Australia, and the seeds were sitting there in Tucson, Arizona. And they had 4 sets of seeds. We chose one randomly. We sent intention to the seeds. We didn't tell the scientists which ones we were doing. We told them we're done. They planted the seeds. That was their cue. 5 days later, measured it. And then we told them which ones we'd sent intention to. And guess what? The seeds sent intention grew significantly higher than controls, as they did in 5 other experiments we did in different locations and over the internet. Now, pretty cool, but just unpack this for a second. Here I am in Sydney, Australia, with an audience of 700. The seeds are sitting in Tucson, Arizona, 8,000 miles away.
Right.
And we're not sending intention to the seeds. I had photographs of the seeds. I'm just showing them to my audience, and we're having an effect. So what that indicated to me is a psychic internet of sorts gets created when people do a group intention. And I've been working on that a lot in numerous and different experiments. And we've worked with about 6 different laboratories. So we didn't want to use the same one all the time, or it would just seem, you know, we could have had bias.
Right.
So we've demonstrated that. We've done intention to the most violent place in America officially, which is a section of St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
And that violence, after our intention, and we worked with the University of California, a professor of statistics, a noted professor of statistics, Jessica Utz, to do all of the analysis, looking at 3 years before and then during and 6 months after our experiment. And we found that everywhere around St. Louis continued to have violent crime and property crime. But in our one little section we did intention for, which had been going up, violence went down by 43%.
Wow. Great job. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people have a hard time believing that a thought can, the energy of a thought or an intention can transfer And yet they pick up their cell phone and they get a call on it, and they've got no problem believing that something, not even thinking about how the heck did that get to that cell phone, right? It was energy being transferred through the space, through the air. And that's all you're saying. That's what we're doing. It's not just machines that can transfer energy to another machine and then we hear it. We can do that. We're built to do that. That's really what intention is, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, we're hearing a lot about artificial intelligence and these amazing new technological breakthroughs, you know, 5G, et cetera, et cetera. But none of those compare to the extraordinary ability that we already have. We have the ability to heal ourselves, to heal others, to heal the world. And I'm seeing that because all of those intention experiments I just told you about aren't the interesting part of the story. The interesting part of the story with the big experiments was what was happening to the participants. And that's what was really blew my mind, because back in 2008, Tom, I started sending out surveys after these experiments to say, okay, you know, were you able to get on the internet? Were you able to take part? And what happened to you afterward? Were there any effects? And I got back these extraordinary comments, thousands of them, saying things like, I felt like I was part of a higher network. I was crying uncontrollably. I had goose pimples up and down my arms, you know, hot and cold, unbearable energy, like feeling I'm in this tractor beam of Star Trek. You know, and remember, they were all sitting in front of their computer screens, just like we are now, individually participating. But also, they started saying things like, I'm getting along better with my not-so-nice boss. My partner and I have never been so close. My estranged son, out of the blue, contacted me. And remember, this wasn't just the odd one. It was thousands. And it's happened with every experiment. Their lives, if it was a peace intention experiment, their lives became more peaceful. And we also got a fair number of people saying, you know, my skin condition is improving. My headaches are gone. I can walk so much better on my knee. You know, there were healings too. Again, thousands of them. Usually, if we focused on a peace experiment, the override was their lives became more peaceful. I mean, they were hugging strangers. Nearly 50% said, I'm more in love with everyone I come in contact with. And I'm thinking to myself, what is this? But then really I wanted to see it scaled down, just test this a little bit. And so really by accident, we ran our first workshop on intention, and I was trying to figure out, well, how do I scale this down from these big experiments? And I was kicking it around with Brian, my husband, and I said, I don't know, maybe I'll just put them in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to someone with a health challenge. And we did this with our first experiment, our first workshop in Chicago, and we expected it would be a nice little feel-good effect, like getting your back massaged by somebody or something. And that wasn't what it was like. The next day when people came back, we had them do the intention, put them in small groups, send healing intention to some member of the group with a health challenge. And next day, come back, give the people who were the recipients the mics. And to our astonishment, they're saying things like this. You know, I have migraines every day of my life and they're gone. I have terrible arthritis in my knee and I walked normally today. I have cataracts and I'm 80% better. And I'm also thinking, what is going on here? So I just kept testing it. And we've, you know, with workshops, wherever, now I've run thousands of those groups. And we see, you know, it doesn't always work, but we see extraordinary, amazing changes in 10 minutes. You know, you don't have to do this for 3 hours or whatever. And you don't have to be particularly experienced.
That's amazing.
I mean,
a group of eight.
I just did it last week. I was part of a virtual conference Mm-hmm. So I spoke for 90 minutes and put people in groups of eight and had them do the whole thing. And at the end of it, we had a woman who had MS be able to get up out of her wheelchair.
Wow.
And I've seen that once other time before, yeah. A woman who was in a wheelchair and had this weird idiopathic paralysis from the neck down that came and went. And she was able to stand after this. I mean, absurd stuff going on, absurd stuff. So it was just amazing, amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I know when I've been in, and again, it's been larger groups than eight, when I've been in a couple of your groups recently, at the end of the time that we send intention, I always feel better. It's like this little charge for me, even though I was not focused on myself. I was focused on other human beings and sending healing, loving thoughts to them. But I always kind of like my day went a little bit better. So I know exactly what you're talking about. The interesting thing is, though, you said the in your book is The Power of Eight. Your newest book is The Power of Eight. Why eight? You said it's just a random number you came up with, but is there any magic in that number eight, or do you know?
I mean, of course, there's a big history about eight and a lot of cultural references to eight. I mean, the Chinese think of eight as a lucky number. It's a sideways infinity sign.
Right.
And, you know, there's certain sacred geometry around eight. For me, it was a complete accident, and there is no need for just eight. Eight is like a Goldilocks figure. You know, it's not too small, it's not too big, it's just kind of right-sized.
Yeah.
But it works with 5, it works with 12, it works with 20, as you know, with the, you know, the Power of Eight group we have with the TLC is about 24 people every time. So it works. What I tend to say is up to about 12 is ideal because otherwise it gets a little unwieldy if you haven't done it much. And smaller than 5, it's not really a group.
Yeah, no, I love it. And so if someone's looking for healing, or they know they have a family member or friend that needs healing, they can start to form these groups. And I know on your website, lynnmctaggart.com, there's courses, there's books, there's lots of information there about how to form these. And also there's some experiments. Like, what are the experiments you've been running lately? I'm just curious.
Well, we just ran one on May 21st, and it was the fourth one I've been doing with a Russian physicist called Dr. Konstantin Korotkov, who has all this amazing equipment that, first of all, measures that light, those light emissions, and has been able to use that to diagnose health in individuals. And he's now used by the Russian government, for instance, to determine whether Olympic athletes are fit to play. So he's well known, and his equipment is used all over the world. He also has equipment that's very subtle, and he calls it Sputnik, after the first Russian spacecraft. And it measures very, very tiny, tiny changes in the atmosphere because of human emotion. So we've been playing around with this device where we do an intention for somewhere else in the world, and we then have the audience focus on his setup, which is in St. Petersburg, Russia, with this little machine.
Right.
And so the most recent one we did was a dual one. We started out, we were going to do one to overcome the polarization between African Americans and the police, and we were focusing on a particular area where the trial had happened the death of George Floyd, and and the policeman was on trial. And then the other one was maintaining the ceasefire in between Israel and Palestine. Mm-hmm. So we had these double whammy experiment that we did. And normally I focus even more on an area, a particular area, but we had two areas there, one after the other. And he had his machinery running, and we found this extraordinary change in the equipment And by the way, he doesn't know when I'm doing the experiments. So he just turns it on and leaves it for hours. And then I tell him afterward. And there was a huge change in the equipment, meaning atmosphere, emotional change on the equipment exactly at the moment of our intention. And then the first intention with the African-American policeman one. Then the one for the Middle East was also a change, not as big as the first. So it looked like everybody was in that state.
Right.
And that continued to maintain things on the machine. We've done this four times with four different locations. And every single time we've been able to affect equipment thousands and thousands of miles away just by focusing on it. So, you know, the implications here about this whole concept of a psychic internet are just enormous.
Yeah. And with when people go to your site, they can actually participate in some of these experiments. And also just in, I noticed that you've got different people that want intentions for healing. So you can help heal people. And as I mentioned, when you help heal someone else, you feel good. And as Lynn mentioned earlier, a lot of times you end up being healed. Like you get the benefit of that giving to someone else actually comes back to you and you get this healing inside yourself. So they can potentially even sign up for some of these experiments and things you have, Lynn?
Absolutely. First of all, for people who want to run a Power of Eight group, when you sign up to my website, you receive some basic instructions, a Power of Eight handbook, a video from me, even a poster if you want to get other people in your neighborhood to participate. So all of that comes to you free. You can join our intention experiments again by signing up, and they're free for everybody. Mm-hmm. I never charge anything on intention experiments. We have our own membership site, you know, our own community site, again, free to join. And you can always just advertise for other people to join or create a Power of Eight group with you. And we even have on Facebook, Connecting and Healing Through the Power of Eight, a group. Everybody's allowed to join, again, to advertise for other members of their Power of Eight group, which we set up during the first wave of the pandemic in 2020. We set it up for so people could connect with other people, because you don't have to be together in person. I mean, as Tom knows, our own Power of Eight group meets on Mondays, and we all meet virtually. I'm in the UK. Most of them are in California. You can meet with your people virtually, as many members of my community, people on my courses, when we put them in Power of Eight groups, this becomes your intention family. But most of the time, in most cases, not just recently, people never actually meet each other physically.
Yeah, very cool. So if you're looking for a way to help heal someone in your family, a Power of Eight group, go to Lynn's website. It's amazing. And also, you're going to get the benefit. You're going to get amazing benefits as you send out healing and intention to other people. Hey, Lynn, I want to ask you a question. So we're talking about intention and thoughts or things, and thoughts impact matter. Talk about negative thoughts, disempowering thoughts. One of our speakers, Ken Klee, who is a Stanford and Harvard trained lawyer who turned into energy healer. I read about him in the Wall Street Journal. He's become a really good friend. But he said, when you think thoughts, a negative thought enough, it actually can become almost like an entity that sticks to you and has to be cleared, which was interesting. So talk about, thoughts like when we have thoughts of anger or hate or just revenge or jealousy, those have impact too. We have to be very careful with those types of thoughts, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, thoughts don't have a morality. You know, they, and the sad thing is that negative intention works just as well as positive intention. Yeah. There have been many studies of Qigong masters and laboratory studies showing that when people send anger or hatred or, you know, negative intention to plants. You know, it impedes their growth, or bacteria, or all kinds of things like that. Qigong masters know this well. I mean, they do a thing called destroying mind, and that can fly an opponent across the room. So it works just as well. What we find is, and remember too, I always tell people, you're a leaky bucket. You know, it's not just those little times when you're meditating in the morning that you do your intention and that's the only thing the universe hears. It's hearing what you're beaming out 24/7. Yeah. And if most of the time you're beaming out negative stuff, well, that essentially becomes your life's intention.
Right.
So, so some of the things that, and yes, things do have to be cleared, particularly if it's a negative thing, in my experience, that carries on through. Right. And some of the work I do in my workshops is all about clearing negativity through intention. Yeah. So there are many, many ways to cure it and to clear it. But first you have to just recognize how much you're beaming out there, and how much you're sabotaging yourself with your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love what you just said, because it's 24/7. You've got intention going out, not just your little meditation in the morning, or, you know, your prayer if you pray, or that nice thought you just sent to somebody. That's nice, but that's a little part of your day. It's 24/7, and that's why I think people struggle with intention. They go, "Hey, I intended something, it didn't work. I intended it every morning for 2 minutes." Okay, what were you intending the rest of the day, right?
You bet. That's the problem, Tom, is, you know, and if you have people, I have people in my masterclass and other courses start tracking, you know, their intentions for a couple of weeks, and they're usually pretty shocked at what they actually are intending.
Right.
You know, forget the thing. But here's the great thing about an intention group, a power of eight group. Most of the time you're getting off of yourself, because you hit the nail on the head earlier when you talked about, well, hey, there's this altruistic piece. That's pretty much a central piece, I think, about why you can heal in an instant with these power of eight groups. You know, most of the time we're geared up into thinking that we've got to, you know, be like a Sufi master and spend years of disciplined practice, or spend hours priming ourselves into the state. But, you know, I've had total novices. That was some of the brainwave studies we've done with a university. We've taken just students who've never even meditated before, and we've recorded major, major brainwave changes. So one of the beauties of it is you get off of yourself. So I think one of the key pieces here about healing is you stop focusing on self.
Yeah.
You start focusing on someone else. And most of the time I start seeing everybody in a group starting to get better, because they are getting off of themselves. So, you know, when you look at the science of altruism, Tom, it's like a bulletproof vest. Mm. Altruism, people who do altruistic things for other people, whether it, you know, taking out somebody's garbage, your neighbor's garbage because they're old and they can't.
Yeah.
Little things, anything, live longer, healthier, happier lives. There's so much scientific evidence about it. And what I've noticed is when people are stuck, invariably in my courses, I'll say to them, get off of yourself.
Yeah.
And when they do, things start shifting for them.
Yeah.
You know, I had a woman called Andy who was, nothing good was happening for her. She was getting a divorce, messy divorce. She had two young kids. She had sold her gift store business. She really needed work, and she wasn't getting anything. And she was a talented coach and marketer and couldn't get anything. So finally, exasperatedly, because this was early on in my whole power of eight journey, I just said to her, Andy, get off of yourself. Here's a kid to focus on. It was a kid who had tried to kill himself after breaking up with his first serious girlfriend, threw himself off a 40-foot structure onto hard ground.
Wow.
Luke almost died. He broke everything. He had brain damage, et cetera, 15 years old.
Mm.
So his parents wrote me and said, can you, you know, put him on our intention of the week list,
right,
where every week my whole community does intention for three people who are in need of healing. So I got my masterclass, this group with Andy in it, start doing a healing vigil once a week for 3 weeks. And so Luke, by the way, got out of the hospital record time. Amazing. His doctors didn't even think he was going to live. Yeah. Maybe we did that. Maybe it was good doctoring. But I know it wasn't a placebo effect, because Luke, you know, like most adolescents, thought his parents' beliefs, particularly in the power of intention, was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So, but here's what happened. Andy, the moment Andy focused on Luke, gets a call out of the blue from somebody she doesn't even know, offering her the perfect job. Wow. So I've seen that over and over and over again. So the whole altruistic piece, I think, is some of the secret sauce here.
Yeah. Well, I love just that little piece of advice. When you're stuck, get off yourself. That's what's getting you stuck, right? Put your focus into helping somebody else, and then it just creates a fresh, almost like a refresh of the field within you, you know, around you too. I love it. Final question, and then I maybe just a couple closing thoughts, but how can we make intention more powerful? Any tips or ideas? Because I know a lot of people after hearing this will say, all right, I'm in, I want to do it, I believe in this. What are some things they should be thinking about? And I know your website has lots of great ideas and videos and courses and training, but anything that they can be thinking about right away, right now?
Yeah. The big mistake people make all the time is they're not very specific. They don't tell the universe what they want. So they may say, I want to be rich. Well, what does that look like? Yeah. And what I usually say, you know, when people are in courses of mine, they say, well, we're all going to intend together to win the lottery. And I usually say, oh, is that what you need?
Yeah.
And they say, well, no, John needs 20 grand for a new car. And Susie needs 15 grand for her, you know, her kid to go to school. And I said, well, intend for that.
Yeah.
Intend, tell the universe what you want. Because most people, A, don't know what they want. And B, when they frame it, they over egg it. Or they'll say, as I say, I want to be rich.
Right.
But what they really mean is, I don't want it. I want anything other than the job I've got. I want a new job.
Right.
Or I don't want to work anymore. Or I want to have more time for my hobbies or my children or my grandchildren. Not, I need lots of stuff. So I always tell them, isolate exactly what you want and frame it positively.
Yeah,
and so if I had one big piece of advice, it would be that, besides getting off of yourself, it would be that. And this doesn't have to go on forever. I only hold intentions for at most 10 minutes, including those big intention experiments.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
Okay. That's awesome. And then the other thing I would just add to, just from my own experience, is when you intend something, don't like, you know, don't expect it to, it's going to come from the lottery. I know it's going to come. It can come from anywhere. The universe is so resourceful and powerful. You think it's got to happen this way, you're just screwing things up, right? Let it come in whatever way it comes. I've gotten so many.
Oh, God, I've seen that so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the how is oftentimes very elastic.
Right.
But yeah. Be a bit open to that, but be very specific about what you know,
yes.
This is a request to the universe. So tell the universe what you want.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, I can't mention cancer. I can't mention illness. Well, if you don't, how's the universe going to know that you don't want it anymore? So say, use positive words like, be free of, or overcome, or something like that. So, you know, my intention or our intention is that Jane Doe be immediately free of all breast cancer, or that, something like that. But don't be afraid to name what you want.
Yeah. And then just one last question. I said that was the last question. What about the importance of faith when you, because a lot of people go, okay, I intended it. All right. Where is it? You have to have some faith. You have to know that, let the universe do its work. What I said is truth, right? The universe responds to it. And Can you just talk about faith for
Sure. Well, that is again one of the great things about a power big group. Everybody bolsters everybody else. And also, yeah. You don't keep focusing and obsessing about your own intention. You get off of yourself. So yeah. It creates the faith. But in my experience, you don't have to believe for this to work.
Okay.
I've had situations where an audience, I remember one woman really didn't believe it. I think her name was Joan. She just thought, this is a pilot hooey. She was listening to me in the audience. And after I put people in Power of Eight groups, you know, I was asking for people what had happened. It turned out that her back pain, she'd had bad back pain. It was gone. So it doesn't have to, it's like, you know, it's like Luke, yeah. You don't have to believe. It helps. Yeah. It helps, but you don't have to. I mean, the universe, you know, works okay. Whether you believe it does or not.
Okay, cool. Hey, Lynn, it's been amazing having you on. Thank you so much. I know you've helped a lot of people with your message today. Any final thoughts? Now, again, they can find you at lynnmctaggart.com. And then also your newsletter is WDDTY.com, is that correct?
It's a magazine. It's an international health magazine. We have, yeah, What Doctors Don't Tell You. It's now in 15 languages around the world. And okay, cool. We write what works and what doesn't work in alternative and conventional medicine. And we've been writing a huge amount about COVID and a lot of the really important things about, you know, preventing COVID, treating it if you have it, holistically. So you can check that out. And we also have a organization called GetWell.Solutions. You can see it. GetWell runs exhibitions, and we have a special beating long COVID and big COVID report that you can get from us at GetWell.Solutions. Awesome. But no, I just, you know, please do check out all of the resources we have on lynnmctaggart.com. I run retreats. I'm running a New Year's retreat into the light, which is all about, you know, coming out of this dark time and using intention to really supercharge 2022. So I'll be in Costa Rica. You can check that out on my website too, if you want to attend.
I know that will be a lot of fun. I hope a lot of people will check that out. Thank you so much for inspiring us and being part of this Global Energy Healing Summit, Lynn. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, Tom.